Welcome to the Member Engagement Show, the podcast for association professionals, brought to you by Higher Logic. I'm your host, Kelly Whalen, and in each episode, we'll talk to guests whose expertise will help you gain new members, boost retention, and deepen member involvement, all goals that can transform your organization. I invite you to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode, and visit us at higherlogic.com/podcasts to catch the best of past episodes. Now, let's start the show. Welcome back to the Member Engagement Show. Today, I'm joined by Amber Worthen, the CEO of Email Maven. Email Maven provides comprehensive email platform support, primarily for associations, but ultimately for anyone. They help staff and get the email work done, pitching in on specific projects and overall strategy. Amber started out working for a large trade association for 7 years before creating her own company to help associations. And outside of work, she's a wife and mom of 2 kids. So thanks for joining us on the show, Amber. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself and Email Maven in your own words?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm a big fan and excited to be here. So Email Maven was created out of a need. I was working for a large trade association utilizing Higher Logic as our email provider, and I went on maternity leave and called Higher Logic to say, could you supply a body, someone that could just design and get these emails out the door? And they said no. And I called during my maternity leave and said, why don't you guys? What's up with that? And that just created our company. Right off, we started filling gaps in staff at associations. So we do their emails anytime they need some extra help. And over the years, we've expanded to multiple areas of email support, including moving email platforms, helping with innovation. So helping with those automated campaigns, engagement, new email design, new content refreshes. We also just really want to help associations maximize the use of their email platforms and just to get their jobs done, get the work done, whatever that is. So we really want to go in and just collaborate with teams and do whatever's best for them and make their emails the best ever.
That's awesome. And I feel like it really speaks to kind of my experience with associations as well, where if you're working with a smaller association or honestly, even larger associations, sometimes when I talk to some of our customers, I'm surprised they only have like 2 marketing staff or something like that, or 2 staff total. So I feel like when I was working at my former association, it was very much the case that I kind of came to that role without necessarily having worked at an association. I had worked at a nonprofit previously, but not at an association specifically, and I hadn't been responsible for email as a whole before that. So you're kind of like teaching yourself, and in running into other association professionals, I've noticed that a lot of them do that as well, where they're like not only teaching themselves, but then also kind of juggling a bunch of responsibilities. So I could definitely see where having, you know, someone to step in and help out if you're low on staff or if you're trying to try something new, but you don't have time to figure it out, having someone, you know, in this case from Email Maven jump in would be a godsend.
Yeah, absolutely. That's just what we see across the board. Very few associations. We've worked with tiny associations all the way up to a lot of big associations in the space. And in every instance, the bottom line is association staff have a lot of work to do and not a lot of time. An email most of the time is just tacked on to another job. It's rarely ever, actually, if ever, I've never seen a sole email person ever. In the last 4.5 years. So just getting that extra support occasionally, and also looking at our large associations, automating process, you know, procedures that they don't need to do. So a lot of times we'll design emails and just get them out the door for them just because they need to focus on some bigger things versus small associations. Sometimes they just need to get things up and running really well. So it saves them time.
That makes a lot of sense. And I know when you do have the opportunity to kind of get something automated or up and running, it can just save you so much time. And it's just that getting over the hurdle of like getting it set up in the first place sometimes is that roadblock where you're like, man, I remember I was trying to start using automation probably for like This is embarrassing. I was probably planning to get it started for like 2 years before we actually were fully using it. And it was like a huge point of frustration for me, I remember, because I was like, this has been on my like my personal strategic plan for the last 2 years in a row. And we just have other stuff coming up. And I haven't had a chance to play with HireLogic's tools to get these set up. And once we had them set up, it was amazing how much time it saved me. And I was so mad that we hadn't had them gotten them set up sooner.
Yeah, that's very common thing. And the other common thing that always breaks my heart that also saves so much time is when people have bought a great Thrive package, but they're still straddling their old email platform. And they just haven't come over and maximizing the use of Informs, because it's just hard. That is a hard game to get a new platform and get into it well. And so we've helped so many clients who have been straddling two platforms, paying for two platforms for over a year, and just finally said, my goodness, we need help. You know, it just hurts my heart. I'm like, call us earlier. Let's get this done. Let's get your staff trained. Let's get you in. Just because I came from an association, everyone on my team has come from associations, like we get the feeling of association staff of like, we're so busy, we have so much to do, we know we have this stuff that if we could just get to it, it would save us time. If we could just do this, like we just really want to be a part of your team to get it done. Let's be efficient, save our money and our time, and do good work.
I'm gonna switch gears for a second and have us touch on, I know you know that HireLogic published our 2023 Association Email Benchmark Report at the beginning of this year. And for those of our listeners who haven't checked it out yet, the report collects email metrics and trends specifically for marketers in the association industry. So we were able to pull anonymized data from what our customers are doing in the association space and see kind of what the benchmarks of success for email look like for associations specifically. So I'm wondering, Amber, if you could talk a little bit about why email benchmarks are important and how they can be helpful for associations.
So email is still king in the marketing communication space, even with everything else that you do in a full marketing communication strategy perspective. And I think one of the main reasons for that is it's very tangible. You can see member XYZ did XYZ with our data. You can really clearly see what people like, don't like via stats, and then harness it to do more. And so to me, data is just everything in email. Whoever is doing email regularly at your organization should be in the data. Like every decision made should be around the data points, should be informing your next decision, next content strategy, next send time, whatever it is, just every point of data is really helpful. And so I like the Association Email Benchmark Report because it pulls together so much data from other associations. So you can kind of see, how do we measure up? How's it going? What are some things we can think about, some different ideas? And then hopefully it will also spark some new things to consider. So, you know, I think there's some examples in here of places that it's like, yeah, automation is proving to get more open and click rates. You know, what is our automation strategy right now? Are we doing that enough or what have you? There's a lot of good content in here.
I know when I used to download the email benchmark reports that I would review as a marketer in an association, I would download, there's like so many of them from a lot of different like email platforms will put them out from their customer base. And what I always really enjoyed about HireLogic in particular is that it is association specific. So you're not comparing to like the DSWs of the world, because my emails are not going to, you know, have the same effect. And in some cases, an association's emails will actually be better than a corporate like ad going out. So I always really liked that HireLogic report collected things specifically for associations. And to your point, it helped me put my data into context. So being able to say, okay, I think we're seeing pretty good open and click rates, but let me see how that stacks up against like what the rest of the association world is seeing. And if we're seeing something different, like if we're seeing lower rates, then what might that mean for us and how might we improve our strategies? Or if we're seeing higher, then that's a really good opportunity for me to justify things when I'm talking to our executive director or talking to our board. And I think sometimes people who don't do email, they're like, well, why doesn't this email have like 100% open rate? How come our members aren't more excited about our newsletter? And then I can have data that says that does not happen. There are no, I mean, if anyone has a 100% email open rate, you should email me because I am shocked by that and I want to know what you're doing. But being able to say, you know, to my leadership team and to our board that our numbers are kind of like in line with what other people are experiencing, that's awesome. And even if they're not in line, it's an opportunity to say like, we need to try something new. We need to have better technology, whatever it may be. It helps me make that case to leadership.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's a big thing with all the email experts out there that we engage with. A lot of times they have a lot of great ideas, but it's the higher ups that may be squashing those or have a different theory. This is, again, data. Like, bring the data to the table and say, you know, this is what HireLogic brought out on associations. It's something we should try. This is the data of tests I've been doing to prove that this is worth, you know, more of our energy or more of our time. You know, it's really hard to deny that versus just saying, I think we should maybe do this, you know, which those are good sometimes, but there's a lot of challenging conversations that many association staff have to have. And using data to get to it is really helpful.
Yeah, even thinking about some of the data points that I found really interesting in this year's report around, and you mentioned one of them before, how like using automation or automated email campaigns have higher open and click rates than like email blasts, individual sends. That would have been really helpful for me when I was working with my association, because I know there was nervousness from our leadership and the board about using automation because they saw it as like, well, oh, you're going to let the machine like do it for you and it's going to make mistakes. And if I had had the data to be like, it seems like this actually does better than like me sending out random messages off the cuff, it seems like having a cohesive automated campaign that is scheduled, you know, and has a clear trajectory or a story that I'm telling in that campaign, those perform better. That maybe would have given me a foot in the door to get someone to like buy into me trying it.
Absolutely. That is a very common problem that we see. And I think that's just where associations are different. And it's a continual challenge we have. But it's really like how automation, like to really break down what is automation. I think people, like we said, board, C-suites, like they just kind of get worried about it. But all we're saying is we're going to nurture someone along with content that they actually want. Like we're going to look at what they're doing, what they're reacting to, and respond as if they were actually a human. So I actually think it's the opposite. Automation makes it so we are humanizing our members versus the many associations that spray and pray email, what I like to call, is where they email every member every time. That's the opposite. That's saying we're not listening to you. We don't see you as you an individual with different needs and wants. We're just saying you need everything. That's not the case. Every member is different. And even if we can just automate to the different member categories, or just say, you know, an example we're doing right now that I really love is this association has some new product lines, meaning like white papers and some other education modules. And the email sequence in an automated campaign that we're creating for them is asking the member questions. So we're saying, how would you like this information? We're really excited about it. This is what it's about. Would you like the live meeting, the recorded option, or the written manual option? And then based on their answer to that, what they click, they then get follow-up emails on each of those tracks. Because I want to respect what you want. Everyone does. And associations need to be a bit more mindful of that because in corporate, right, that's what everyone's used to. If you look in your personal email box on the regular, that's what's happening, right? You leave something in your cart and you're going to get an email right away that says, hey, here's 10%. You're going to surf around a website. magically, not really, but magically, in the next couple of days, you're going to get an email about that same thing, you know, or ads, right? Like, it's already out there and it's been for so long. It's just like, it's very socially norm. So let's embrace it and give people the personalized experience they want.
I love everything that you just said. I feel like that's exactly, that is the best like pitch for automation that I feel like I've heard, because maybe it's a branding issue for the word automation. Like, I guess marketing automation, people think it's like, oh, you just set it up and then it's like sending people things on its own. And that's not really true, because you're putting a lot of thought into how you set it up. You're putting thought into how to use it to reach people with exactly, like you said, exactly what they want to receive. And you are then able to talk to everyone as if they are an individual, but you're able to talk to them as individuals, which you might not be able to do if you're manually sending every message out, because it's so much harder if you have to send every individual message and like split those messages up and be sending those like quote unquote by hand every time.
And it's just, we understand you can't do that for everything, right? Like, we can't create an automation for everything. There's absolutely a place for one-off emails. And that's where a different level of personalization comes in. But when you're creating a campaign, like I said, a new product, a new event, a new service, whatever the new thing, or just a reminder about the thing, that's when it's time to say, can we approach this different and maybe build it into a campaign that goes to people based on what they're interested in, instead of just telling everyone all the time, here's our new cool service, please stick with us, is kind of like, it almost feels a little desperate, instead of like, here we go, how can we help you?
Yeah. Coming back to some of the email metrics that someone might want keep an eye on, are there any particular measures of success that you look for in email campaigns when you're reviewing the data?
So ultimately, it's conversions, right? At the end of the day, we are trying to sell something, selling memberships, selling conferences, selling education, whatever. We are truly selling something. So at the end, conversions are important. We're always watching those numbers. Ahead of that, though, we're always watching clicks. We're also watching where people go. Something in Informs that I love that not all email platforms have is a heat map. So you can actually look at where your people are going in your emails. What are they clicking on? What are they interested in? That's also really helpful to say, oh, people actually don't care about the last half of this email. Maybe we should just chop it off or something. So yeah, conversions, clicks are the highest. And just understanding when we're talking about an automated campaign, just where people end up. When you create an automated campaign, there's going to be multiple stopping points throughout the campaign if you've done it well. And so looking at where the groups of people kind of pooled because of their engagement or lack of engagement is data. So right now we're running a campaign for someone about pre-conference courses. So we're watching all the people who've registered for the conference, and now we're saying, hey, come to pre-conference. And we're being really aggressive in that funnel, as far as we're only talking to people if they're clicking things, because that's showing interest. And we're seeing a huge number of people pooling right off because they're not clicking. So we're already thinking, should we change that? Should we do something different? Or what's new? Or what is this telling us? Or is pre-conference just not that interesting to most of our members?
That's super helpful. And I think that's sometimes where I think when you're looking at data, and I don't say this to caution people away from looking at data, I'll bring it full circle. But sometimes I feel like people get really like sucked into a particular data point. So I remember when the Apple Mail privacy protection changes came out, people got really worried about open rates because now they can't trust them as much because it might not be an indicator that someone actually opened that message. It could just be Apple automatically downloading that pixel that marks that the message has been opened. And I think if that's how you look at data, if you're just like fixating on one specific point, you can kind of like miss the big picture. So what I always really liked about looking at the entire swath of data that I could get in our email marketing platform I like to see the journey that a member would take. So like, even if open is a little iffy now, I would look at the open rate to see like, okay, does this one have a higher open rate than the one we sent last month? Does this email, did it perform better? So even if I'm not fixating on the specific, like, oh, this one is 34% and yesterday's was 36%, like I might not look that closely, but I'm going to look at, well, how many people opened it? And then how many people clicked through it? And then how many people actually registered? Because I remember one time we had this interesting thing where our program department had a webinar that they were advertising. We sent out a campaign about it, and we kept getting the program department contacting the marketing department again and again, saying like, you need to send out more emails for this webinar. We haven't gotten enough registrations. You need to keep emailing people. And I literally pulled the data and was like, you know, 40% of people are opening this and we have a huge click rate. Like, this is how many people have clicked on the email. If you don't have that many registrations, that means the problem is not the email. The problem is somewhere else. It's like, is the registration process not working? Is the way we're advertising it not aligning to the website? I think in the end, we kind of thought maybe it was like, oh, there's not certification credit or something like that. But it gave us a place to look without just assuming like we need to send more marketing, because the marketing was working. It was, the subject line was getting people to open the message. The message in the email was getting people to click on it. And then somewhere between them going to the webpage, they were just not registering for that webinar. They were deciding once they went there to learn more that they didn't want it. And that, for me, seeing data as like, it's telling you something about the journey that your members are taking is where it really becomes really helpful. And I like that you kind of pointed out, it's like those conversions at the end of the day are what you want, but the other pieces of data can tell you like, where are they getting stuck?
Yeah. What's the story? I think that is the quintessential story of every email expert at every association right now. Like, that's what everyone deals with on a day-to-day basis, to some degree, of someone saying, send more email. And as the email expert on team, like, your job is to say, well, first is to be curious, just number one all the time. The email expert should know your audience better than just about anyone, right? Like, they should know your audience really well. What do they like? What do they not like? What's going on? What's going to work? What's not going to work because of testing and different things. Two, exactly. You got to look at the whole thing. What else is happening? Yes, email is still very much the primary mode of marketing, especially for associations, but that doesn't mean it's going to solve your problems. We have other problems. We see often, right? It's a website problem. It's a checkout problem. It's other thing. So using data again to inform people, if you just become the data expert and just when you're having these hard conversations, right away jump in and say, here's the data to support what I'm thinking might be happening, that's going to go farther.
The other example that I always remember is when we did our conference emails, and this kind of goes to what you were saying about checking like that campaign, that email campaign data. We had like a couple different types of emails we would send out for conferences. So we would point out the keynote speakers, we would point out the agenda in general, we would point out certification credits and all, and the networking opportunities. And maybe this happens to other associations, and maybe it doesn't, because it can be highly individual. But when we were looking at the data of our whole conference campaign, once we started using automated campaigns, we could get that report that showed like the series of messages and which ones performed the best. It was super fascinating to see that for our audience, they did not care about the keynotes. And those were the people that we thought like, oh, this is like a big name. This is like a person that's like important even outside of our industry. So people are going to be excited. But because our members were so like hands-on, I need to do these things in my job, they wanted like the breakout. So the agenda message that pointed out the breakout sessions that were coming up and the one where we segmented and said, if this person has this interest area in their profile, then send them this one that highlights the breakout sessions that are specific to their interest areas. That message always outperformed. And our lowest performer was always the keynote one. So that was just, again, just a super interesting thing where if you're actually looking at that data and you take the time to compare it and see like where things are different, where you have like higher or lower engagement, you you learn so much. And sometimes it helps you change the way that you're doing things because you thought, again, we thought the keynotes would be the big draw, but they were not.
Right. And that's what's essential is if you're using data on the day-to-day to have these hard conversations, then pull it all the way through. And at the end of a series, so conferences are the best example, make a simple report. Pull that data in Informs. It's the message summary report. Pull everything out of that whole series that you've done. You can easily take some snapshots and say, like, this is what performed best. This is why. And then put in your notes. This is what I think we should try next year. This is why. And then in a lot of healthy organizations we've been in, they've actually had full meetings with their communications teams and their marketing team and their biz dev team, like all the people. And they talk about all the ways to change next year. And that's documented. So then next year, you're even another step ahead.
We did that at our association. We had sort of like a post-mortem. I think that's what we called it, but there's other a debrief, if you will. So there were like that post-conference meeting where we talked about here's what worked really well. Here's where we have these opportunities to improve. And that included the marketing. And I think, like you said, it's really great to have that data to bring to that meeting and say, hey, I don't think we should put the effort into doing this piece of marketing because it didn't work, but this other piece worked really well. So let's make sure we incorporate that. You might even learn things about like your programming too. You might see like, hey, this session was just super popular, or this email that we sent out about this topic was super popular. Maybe we need more programming like that. I wanted to also ask you if there are any ways that you've seen associations really effectively segment or personalize their communications, like just where they've seen just very successful results from that kind of personalization and segmentation.
So one of the most underutilized features, I think, from Informs is web tracking. So you can grab web tracking code out of Informs and drop it on your site, your website. It's just something you drop in your universal footer. Your IT team will know what you're asking for. And from there, you create web tracking audiences. So you can see any known user that has clicked around on your website, but maybe didn't purchase something. So you can use that audience in a few different ways. But my favorite way to use it is to have basic automated campaigns always running off of it. So when it comes to sales, exhibiting, education, conferences, I love to see basic automated campaigns running almost year-round, not for conferences, but definitely for sales and exhibits. If someone surfs around on certain web pages and then doesn't take action, they're going to automatically drop in a campaign and they're going to get an email or two, maybe three, probably just one or two though, that says, hey, here's a little bit more about this. That's essentially responding to someone's interest, right? They've raised their hand. They've surfed around your conference website, but didn't register. We don't know why, but it's okay to send a couple emails in addition to your promo emails that just remind them of how awesome this conference is and why you'd love for them to be there. They don't necessarily provide like huge numbers, but they're consistent. The thing is, they're consistently working in the background for you. And once you take the time to set them up, they're done and they're running, and it's not extra staff time after that. And you're going to get multiple conversions off of it.
I love that you brought up web tracking because our data, our like customer data actually shows us that too, that it's one of the most underutilized features in HireLogic's marketing products. And it's such a shame that it is. I think maybe sometimes people wonder, well, what's the difference between what I can do with web tracking in HireLogic versus like Google Analytics? And as someone who's used it, I would say like Google Analytics, and you need them both. Like, I'm not saying web tracking replaces your Google Analytics. Your Google Analytics is going to tell you general like traffic information about your site. But the web tracking gives you like actual people. So like the people that are in your mailing list, you can tell what they're doing because it can track them when they come to your website. So you can see like, oh, Kelly Whalen went to our membership page, but she's not a member. And she's been to our membership page like three times. So maybe we should follow up with her about membership and say, hey, can we answer any questions for you? And that's something that I was starting to do at my association where I hadn't set up I hadn't set up the actual automated messages yet, but I had set up a few listening campaigns. And I apologize for our listeners. I have mentioned a couple times I was a Real Magnet customer, so I might be calling the tools a little bit differently than what they're called in Informs, but they both have like the same tools. They just have different names sometimes. So I would set up these listening campaigns, particularly our engagement campaigns and our lead scoring campaigns, to see, just to start collecting what people were doing. So I had one that literally was what I just said. Who's visiting our membership page? And which of those people are already members versus non-members? So now I have this bucket of people that's non-members who are visiting our membership page, and I can decide what to do with them. I can say, I want to set up an automated campaign to follow up with them. Or maybe I send them to our membership department and I say, hey, here are basically some hot leads. Like, we didn't have sales people, so we would never have called them hot leads, but as a marketing person, I think of them as like hot leads. And then also we would have some where it would say, okay, well, this person hasn't ever visited our website, or this person hasn't opened messages in the last year. So I just had like all of those little listening campaigns, collecting people into groups so that I could look at them later and say, okay, these 100 people, I know something about them now. And these other 400 people, I know something about them because I can tell what they're doing on our website. I can tell what they're doing in our emails. And now I can try to make some inferences from that and decide how to react to that, how to treat them or what to give them because of what they're doing.
Absolutely. And in Informs, we do similar things for win-back campaigns, right? So typically, there's like a custom list that probably IT is going to pull and say, these are the people we're going to go after for this full win-back campaign. Great. Upload that into Informs. Compare it against, in a compound target group, compare it against who has been touching the website and see what the numbers are. Let's just see. And if that's the case, exactly, those are some hot leads. Let's really make sure that maybe we're making some personal phone calls on those ones as well as our whole effort.
Are there any particular, you know, existing or emerging trends or technologies in email marketing that you are keeping an eye on or that you feel like associations should keep an eye on?
The two fundamental things that associations should always keep an eye on are ADA compliance and people using dark mode. Those are foundational, but I think we kind of forget that sometimes. So ADA compliance, it's really important to make sure that everyone that's accessing our emails can read them, that they can listen to them, they can do whatever they need to do to properly bring in the information. So there's lots of ADA guides out there. There's ways you can scan your emails and say, is this good or bad? The biggest things for that are watch your colors, number one. And number two is your text size. A lot of people are still using 12-point font in text. Bump it up. Most people are 14. They're trending 16-point font on basic text nowadays to help with compliance. And put some spacing between things. Some people smash their button really close to everything else, and it's really hard to click on those things. And dark mode, over 80% of people use dark mode. So we're still designing in regular, but in Informs, you can, when you look at your spam filters, HireLogic provides snapshots of what your email is going to look like in browsers. That includes dark mode. So I think people get a little overwhelmed about dark mode, but literally click over to the review and send tab, click one button, and right there, you're going to get five options of how it's going to look in dark mode. And then you can say, oh, our blue looks really bad in dark mode. Maybe we should change it or something. Just make little tweaks. Don't overcomplicate it. Just make some little tweaks. And then obviously the emerging trend is AI. You know, I just think the tangible examples of how to be using AI today for email marketing is to help improve your testing of things. So we should be A/B testing our subject lines and pre-headers and blocks of content often. And as busy association staff, you know, a lot of time we're just trying to scream an email out the door and we're like, test, A/B test a subject line, hurry. You know, ChatGPT can whirl out a bunch of subject lines for you real quick and pre-headers that are pretty good, or at least will jog, you know, some ideas for you to make a good one. So testing out your subject line, pre-headers, You know, the other thing that we've been loving doing is with AI is feeding AI with our ideal member profiles. So who's our ideal member and what would they think about this email? Like, what would they think about this course or this thing? Now, we're not 100% trusting that AI knows that 100%. But what's interesting is it gives you different ideas. So if you're feeling like your emails are stale, that you're just like, we kind of need to switch things up, I found it to be really helpful to say, hey, you know, this is our young professional and we want to talk to them better. This is the ideal profile. This is what their lives are like. You know, feed ChatGPT everything and then say, what are some questions they would have for me over this email? Or what would they think about this content? Those responses out should just be helpful to think about maybe some new fresh ways to think about your email and maybe freshen it up.
I love that. I feel like a lot of people, and myself included, I've noticed that where I end up using AI the most is for that like thought generation, that kind of like, oh, I'm stuck. I'm just staring at my blinking cursor on a Word document. And I, for me, and I know this isn't the case for all marketers or all like people who generate content, but for me, sometimes it's easier to react to something, to see like a draft of something and be like, no, that's not it. Or yes, that's close, but let me make some tweaks, than to have to like come up with something from scratch. So that's where I've had AI really expedite things for me. And I feel like your example really highlights that as well, that you can kind of, if you're stuck or you're struggling to think of something in a new way, because you've been, I mean, I worked at my association for like 7 years, just like you said, at your trade association, you get kind of stuck in the cycles of the marketing that you've written, or at least I used to get stuck in those cycles of the marketing that I'd written year over year over year. And it could be hard to kind of break myself out of that, because I'd be like, well, you know, last year I phrased it like this. And often to stimulate my thought process, I would pull up last year's marketing and be like, well, what did we do last year? Let me like look at that and write something from that. But like ChatGPT or AI of some kind can like give you something else to start from, so that you're not just always being like, what did we do last year?
Yeah. And to give fresh perspective from the different member groups. You know, I think that's a place where we tend to just email all members together. But if we're struggling with retention on certain member groups, or we're not seeing our young professionals buying into our education modules, which will help retention, just getting different ideas, an objective from someone who barely knows your association is a good thing, right? Like, it's helpful for someone, because ChatGPT and your average member know your association probably just as well. Unlike you, that's the expert that's been there for 7 years, you know your association inside and out. So using a tool to kind of help remind yourself, like I said, my number one question I love to ask ChatGPT is, after reading this, what questions do you have for me? Because then I can think, you know what, that is going to be a big question. I should touch on that, or I should do this to change things up.
Well, I feel like we've covered a bunch of stuff on this episode, but I do want to open the floor to you in case there's anything that you feel like we haven't covered or any advice that you would leave associations with for thinking about their email strategies.
I think, you know, the biggest misstep we see is that people email everyone all the time. And if you're really watching the data on that, it's actually hurting your email list over time. And if you're doing it all the time, what's going to happen? We've seen many case studies of this where teams have needed to do that. And we're coming in about 5+ years down the road and the audience is just tired. They're tired. They don't want to open any of your emails anymore. They don't want to do that. So I just really always hope that people are being strategic. How can we not exhaust our people? How can we segment and use dynamic content and use automated campaigns, use engagement scoring, web tracking audiences? There's all these tools. How can we use that to give people exactly what they want and what they need, and not email the 10,000 other people that don't really need or want that right now? That's my number one. And number two is, I just hope that the email person of your organization becomes the expert, that they really love data and they're critically thinking around how is this working? Maybe this is why the problem is. Maybe we should test this or try this. And that the team around them is responding positively to that. Like, we need people that say, you know what, that's a great idea. We should give that a try. And if it doesn't work, we'll try something else. That's okay. Let's test ideas, let's test theories, and let's really arm our email expert with the ability to make some decisions and try some things, because oftentimes you'll be surprised. They'll hire us and we will come in. And a lot of times the email expert's like, yeah, I've been saying that for 2 years. We're like, well, it's okay. Consultants are here and we'll get it done. And lo and behold, the data proves exactly what that person's been saying would work. And so give them a shot as the expert, use the data to beef up your explanation of why things should change or tests that should happen, and then trust them and lean into it, because associations use email marketing so much that we can't be exhausting our lists and exhausting the staff in those areas. Like, keep creativity alive.
I like that as a key, something to point out to people, because I think it's a lot easier to like not make people unsubscribe. It's a lot easier if you keep them in your list. Once they've unsubscribed, it's so much harder to get them back. So I think, I mean, to your point about not exhausting them, I think that's another reason why something like unsubscribe categories and informs can be really helpful then too, because if people do get tired of receiving a certain kind of message or a certain topic, they can unsubscribe from that, but still stay on the rest of your list. So that's, I've seen some folks or some associations that are kind of like, why do I need all these different unsubscribe categories? How does that help me? We can just have the one category. But I think where it helps is that people can opt out of something, one individual type of thing, without having to like totally leave your mailing list and never hear about anything again.
Absolutely. And another experience that we've seen and I've loved is when people put a little PS in the bottom of like their conference promos that says, PS, if you aren't able to join us this year, you can pause these promos. We see you. You probably have a family vacation that same week, or your kid's graduating, or something's going on. You might not be able to come this year. That's okay. Just send us a note. We will opt them out for this year. But next year, they're going to be right back on it. We don't want them to opt out for conference promotions 100%. We just want to say, we get it. We're not going to catch you this year. We're going to miss you. And that all that is a landing page that catches that. And then you know what the submit screen says? Thank you so much for letting us know. We hope you have a great time that week. And we'll love to see you next year. Like, just make it personable. Talk to your members as if they're with you face to face.
Yeah, I think that's perfect. And I think I remember having to defend stuff like that at my association, because people were like, well, if we let them unsubscribe from like webinars, what if everyone unsubscribes from webinars and then we can't market webinars to anyone anymore? And I was kind of like, well, if that happens, first of all, we don't know that's going to happen. Like, let's wait until we see the data. But if that happens, that's telling us something too. That means no one wants webinars. Like,
right.
So it was kind of one of those things for me where I was like, just let people get what they want to get and not get what they don't want to get, because you're better off that way. You're not going to convince someone that they want to go to a webinar by forcing them to stay on the webinar marketing list, because there's no other option. Eventually they're going to get sick of getting those messages and they're just going to unsubscribe from everything because they're like, stop bothering me about this thing I don't want.
Right. And there's other ways you're still talking about that topic, right? There's probably a link in your newsletter. There's going to be social media on it. You're going to reference it on your website. Like, there's other touch points. If their mode of communication isn't email multiple times a week for most people, like, that's fine. Let them exit that. They might like to be communicated to a different way.
Right. I've seen some organizations that'll do like a, speaking of what you said about getting messages at certain times a week, I've seen some organizations that allow people to say, I want emails like only once a week. And then they only get like a digest email once a week that says, here's, you know, everything we were going to talk about this week in one message or something like that instead. we even tested out having like a monthly one. And again, we did like an A/B test to see, is this still going to work for us? Or are we going to see like problems from it? So I feel like that's the power of A/B tests too. If you're wanting to try out something new and you want to see how it's going to go first before like totally implementing it, you can try out an A/B test on it.
Absolutely. Just try it. Just give it a shot. Everyone's audiences are so different that you need to test stuff. You know, it just every example we can think of, every association we've gone in is just different. Some associations, we send emails at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. Every other association would say, like, that's a terrible idea. It's not. It's not for them, because we proved it via data that their young professionals open high rates Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. And if we give people the options to show us their preferences and respect it, I think that speaks volumes of your organization as well.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, Amber. I feel like everything you've said really both resonated with my experience, but also just gives our listeners some food for thought as they think about their email messages. And like Amber just said, benchmarks can give you context, but it's also about testing your own data. So kind of taking that overarching industry data as inspiration for the way that you're thinking about things or things that you might want to look at or test, but also always checking your own data, because your members will have certain things that resonate with them and that don't resonate with them. So
absolutely.
Thank you again for coming on.
Yes, thank you for having me and for the conversation. I love talking all things email, and especially with association staff that are in it all day, every day. It's my favorite.
Yeah. So for our listeners who haven't downloaded the 2023 email association email benchmark report yet, I will make sure that's on the podcast page. So that's hirelogic.com/podcasts. And then myself and my colleague, Sarah Spinoza, will also be doing a webinar in April about benchmarks for success. So if you want to join us for that, we will be talking a little bit more about specific benchmarks from our email benchmark report, but also from HireLogic's Association Community Benchmark Report and our Association Member Experience Report. So we'll kind of be talking about how those benchmarks all work together and the ways that you can think about those when you're thinking about your member journey. And then Amber, is there anything you want to call out from Email Maven?
We are going to be at Superform this year. We're going to be at ASAE's MMC conference, and just looking forward to seeing all the email experts out there and talking about what you're doing, what's exciting. I love when people come up and say hi and we get a talk strategy and what are they up to and what are questions. And I just love that.
Well, until next time, folks.